Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Well, we got this day so far. We made it, y'all. Got through last night. Laid down, and God allowed us to get up. And we ought to be excited, amen, just to be among the living. If somebody laid down last night, and they didn't get up this morning. Yeah, but we did it, didn't we? Thank God. God is good, isn't he? Yes, he's very good. Yeah, very good. God has been blessing us to live this life, and God has given us a chance. I mean, y'all believe God is a God of second chances? I don't believe that no more. I used to say that. I think God is a God of so many chances we can't count them. And we just take the second. How many chances have God given us that we just taking it for granted, right? Let's make this moment this morning as we study God's word. Let's not take a chance. How about that? But consider it a chance. We can do it that way. And so we welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ to this audience here in the building. But in addition to that, we have those who may be on YouTube or Facebook Live and all the other mediums that we have to get the word out on a conference call. We want to welcome you. And we want to welcome you to, if you not a member of the Church of Christ, to know that we love you. Amen. We love you and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Let's be real clear about that. Yeah, people who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. You say, why is that, brother? Got the only church you ever read about in the Bible. The only one in the Bible is the Church of Christ. So I didn't know that, but now you do. The only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. How many of y'all believe in this book? Amen. I believe this book's right, don't you? All of the Bible is right. All of it is right. We believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all who's above all, and one body of the church. That's right, that's right. That's what we believe, and the Bible supports it. Amen. And we believe that Jesus died on the cross, not because we saw that with our eyes, but because this Bible tells us that he died on the cross. Is that right? That's right. Now, what you're experiencing now this morning is a New Testament pattern. Now, you notice we didn't do no clapping and beatboxing and bass miking and all that. Now, there's some things, concerns these days about what should do. I can tell you the right answer is always here in the book. If you can find where they did it in this book, then it's going to be all right. But if it's not in this book, then you roll your dice if you want to. But I'm not going to roll mine. Amen. I'm going to worship like the apostles. Want to know how did the apostles worship? The men who were with Jesus. Amen. The men who were with Jesus, they in the congregations of churches in the Bible, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatian congregation, these are all locations, Ephesus, Corinth. Galatia, amen, Thessalonica, all these were towns where these congregations of the Church of Christ were. You know how they worship? They sing. What do they do in worship? Sing. Amen. I mean, in Ephesians 5:19, speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spirits, song, singing, and making melody to your heart, in your heart, and this is talking about your mind, to the Lord. So you understand that I can't sing to God for you? But when we praise, God's like, well, let's get a praise team. The whole church is a praise team. Amen, amen. Speak yourselves in psalms and hymns. Every individual praise God with the fruits of their lips. You know, when we singing, we praising God. That's the praise team, the whole church. Amen. Don't need no one group praying for. That's why we have no choir. No one can worship for me. No one can sing for me. No one can take communion for me. Amen. What did the apostles, they took communion. Notice we took communion today, every Sunday. Why is that? Jesus commanded it. This you do in remembrance of me. That's a command. You're in a church, you're not taking the Lord's Supper. You're not worshiping properly. Yeah, see that? See that? That's in your Bible. Why do we do it on Sunday? First day of the week. 7 days in the week. Jesus resurrected on the first one. That's Sunday. That's why we call it that. That's Sunday. That's why everybody in buildings now call themselves Christian. They call themselves worship. Why? On Sunday. Not just on Easter bunny rabbits and stuff like that. No, I was every Sunday. Every week got a first day. They're good. And y'all might want to say, man, church, act like you ain't heard this before. Yeah, y'all need to be reminded. In the church, we need to be reminded sometimes why we do the things we do in the churches of Christ. That's right. That's right, Church of Christ. That's right. That's what we do. We take collection. We don't tithe. Now, tithing was Old Testament. That's what we're a New Testament Christian. We follow the New Testament. Why the New Testament? That's what Jesus taught. See, all of Jesus' teachings in the New Testament. Don't y'all know that? That's why we call it a New Testament. Jesus came to start a new way on a new day. The old day was a seventh day. The new day is the first day. The old day was a seventh day. That's the Old Testament. That's how David and them did it on the Sabbath. Our day is the first day, the day of the resurrection. Isn't it good? Yeah, we're New Testament. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. Don't run over there. Somebody said, what about David? David wasn't no Christian. David was not a Christian. Amen. What you say? David wasn't a Christian. No Christians in the Old Testament. They didn't take the Lord's Supper over there. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Need to understand that. What else we do? Preach the word. What we do in the Church of Christ, preach the Bible. You don't have to add to it. You don't need nothing else. The Bible deals with everything. Politics, everything. Personal beliefs, it kills everything. The Bible, the word of God, is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Bible, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, somewhere in there. That's what the Bible say. Yeah, and so that's what we're going. Preach the word. Be instant what? In season and out of season. What that mean? When you like what I say and when you don't like what I say. Yeah, in season. Not to please people, you know. The Bible, preaching is not about pleasing people that good. That's the truth, isn't it? Not about making you happy, feel better about yourself. No. The Bible is to save souls. Amen. Bible, the word of God, that's what it is. You know, I'm under charge too as I preach. Under charge. Every preacher needs to know he's under charge. Don't matter what the folk think. Well, you know, not about it. Preach the word, that's what he told Timothy. Young preacher, he told me, preach the word, be in so what? In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That means teaching. Yeah. See, men, people want you to itch their ears, teach, you know, they want you to touch their ears and make them feel good. No, the word of God will get down right down to your soul. Yeah. Now, I'm happy. Amen. I got my grandson. I just baptized him last week. Raise your hand, son. That's a little Brooks right there. Yeah. Raise your hand, Elijah. Put it up in there where everybody can see. Proud to be my son. That's my grandson right there. Yeah, he about to kill me last week fishing every day. You know, a blessing to have my grandson. He's a Christian. Hope he grew up to be a preacher in the Church of Christ. Only church of preach, only church in the Bible. That's it. Now he know that. I done taught him. And so that's what. Now I'm a preacher. I just want to get warmed up here. I'm trying to get warmed up. You know, I'm a traveling evangelist. Y'all know that? I've been traveling. Well, I got a busy schedule too. I'm baptizing people. Things are going good. I started a new ministry called FPTP. Gonna be meeting with eldership that want to support that. And that a continuation of filling the pulpit across this nation. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's a blessing right there. Amen. It's a blessing. Somebody say, Brother Brooks, what are you doing? Preaching the gospel. What I love to do. That's right. That's what I. This is my passion. This is my passion. My love. And if somebody in the audience today, I'm hoping you'll become a Christian. That's right. That's right. If you haven't been baptized, I hope you will. I want you to be baptized today. Why? You can't be saved until you're. Yeah. You say, well, I've been baptized. That don't mean you were saved. You might have been taught wrong. If you were taught wrong, that baptism wasn't no good. You just got wet. Amen. Yeah. Went down, the devil came up another one. Yeah. Yeah, dry went down, came up a wet one. That's it. Now, when you look at the organizational structure of the church, you look at the Bible, you talk about, I'm not your pastor, I'm an evangelist, that's who I am, yeah, preacher of the word. Yeah, I'm not a pastor. Some men walk around, call themselves senior pastor. I ain't never read about a senior pastor in the Bible. I don't understand why a preacher want to put themselves up there as seniors. Hey, man, a senior pastor, what is that all about? Not a senior pastor. Jesus is the pastor, the great shepherd. That's what the shepherd. That's a pastor, the shepherd. Amen. Yeah. I'm a preacher. Amen. A minister. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Now, this sermon I'm talking about this morning is a SOS. A SOS. Now, y'all know that's the International Morse Code. I heard recently the submarine that went down to see the Titanic, right? And I'm sure everybody was glued to the TV When I was, I kept listening. It kept talking about five souls on board. Did y'all hear him say that? You know, when an airplane go down and crash, they said 200 souls went down. The International Morse Code is SOS. You know what that means? Save our soul. That's what SOS is. That's impossible. It's impossible for man to save our soul. Because Ezekiel tells me in Ezekiel chapter 18 and the verse number 4, the Bible says what? Behold, all souls are who? All souls belong to God. So it is impossible for man to save what don't belong to him. What belongs to God is your soul. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse number 7, the Bible tells us there that it tells us that the body is going to return to the ground. Y'all know we was created from the dust of the ground, mankind was, right? And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. You stay over there because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So you're looking at a body and a spirit. And the body is the physical part of me that you see. And the animation that I'm doing, my hands and movements, is life. When a man or woman die, they no longer animate. They no longer walk. They no longer talk. They no longer move their hands. What you see in the coffin is the body. The body now is going to go back to the dust. The life is returned to God who breathed in us and we became living souls. So each of us have a soul. Now the big word triune being, but we'll just stay with body, spirit, and soul. The soul belongs to God. So is all well with your soul? Is the question on the table this morning. Because God is going to require that the soul respond at judgment to him. Amen. Now you don't know the real me. You only know what you like or don't like about Brother Brooks, which is okay with me. That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. You might not like my bald head. You might not like the way I talk. You might not like something I've done, but that ain't got nothing to do with my soul. Because my soul don't belong to you. My soul belongs to God. Now, when is it important? What is it important for us to know? Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, I got killed. I died in a car wreck, and they brought me back. You weren't dead. No. Get for me 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm coming back to Ecclesiastes 12, so you might want to put your finger over there because that's where I want you to be at in a few minutes here. But here's the thing about y'all with me? So the SOS this morning is a distress signal that every person in here must understand that your soul belongs to God, and God is the only one that can save your soul. And the Bible says, now, here's when we need to understand. Do we understand? 1 Kings 17 and verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. You see that? This is a widow. Her son was dead. Elijah was going. I'm going to just give you the story. And so the widow, the son was dead. So the widow wanted Elijah to help her out. So there was no soul. He was dead. He was dead. So when there's no breath left in you, somebody said, well, he's still breathing. He's on the breath machine. The machine is keeping him alive. No. Not dead yet. And then they bother the family with that and say, well, we you got to make a major decision if he's going to die or live. That's not your decision to make. And then the doctors, they have to do that for liability purposes, because if they turn the machine off, it's a possibility the person is not going to continue to breathe. But it's also a possibility the person is going to live. But that's not in the doctor's hands, not in your hands, not in the machine's hand. It is in the hands of the one who the soul belongs to, and the soul belongs to God. That's right. And so, and drop down to verse 21 now. He said, now watch this. He said, and he stretched himself up on the child three times.
You can pick me
up
any time. Yeah.
And
to the Lord.
Uh-huh. He said this, what?
He said, Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
My God.
Uh-huh.
I pray thee.
Let this child's soul. Hold on. So the child's soul had left when there was no breath. Y'all got it? He said, let this child's soul come to him again. Watch the verse number 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him again.
And he revived.
So he revived when the soul, that was a miracle there. So when we died, the soul ain't coming back in us again. It's over. Amen. That's the SOS. This is the international, worldwide call from God. Is that every one of us must understand that we have to save our souls. Now this applies to young people and old folk. Understand? The soul that's in your body, that's with you, is going to go back to God who gave it. And the soul has understanding. The soul has memory. The soul is alive when you die. The soul don't die.
Amen,
somebody. Not the physical death the soul does. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse 1. Well, I want to go from young soul to old soul. And God let us know, I'm in control of the soul, and God is showing if each of us, we will see, we are already headed back to the long home. And the Bible says, and remember what? That created in the chapter 12 and verse 1.
In the days of thy youth.
Now, this comes in the days of thy youth. Read.
While the evil days come.
Uh-huh, read.
Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure.
Now, you get from young to old, get to a point. My mama said, she said she was 80-something years old. She was 86, I think, when she passed. But she did say something. One day I was sitting there. She said, son, she said, it's good to get old, but it sure is hard. Mm. Yeah. She couldn't do for herself. She said, you can't do for yourself. I can't take care of myself. I can't even go to the restroom. She didn't say it like that, but she said something like that. On her own. Somebody else had to do it for her. That's what she was saying. She went from the recliner to the bed. Well, what had happened? She went from young to old.
Amen.
So the Bible saying, God is saying, hey, soul, remember when you're young that you have a soul. You have a creator. Amen. Remember that creator, that's God, who the soul belonged to. That's why you need to remember. Watch what happens now in the next verse. Here's how we know that we're going back to God. The soul is headed back. Listen to it now.
While
the sun,
or the light, or the moon,
or the star,
be not dark.
Now, when you can you look up and see everything. Now you can see everything. I can see clearly now. You can see the sun, the moon, all that. Read on.
Nor the clouds return after the rain.
Read.
In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble.
Now, he's talking about aging now. He's saying that the young soul going to start aging when he or she cannot see. I remember there was a time when you didn't have to wear them glasses. But now you're wearing them
to see.
Them glasses, you know what? Now, if you take them glasses off, some of y'all can't see no moon and sun and stars no more because everything fuzzy. And you can put them glasses on, then boy, I can see clearly again. That means that soul is getting old. Read on.
And the strong man.
And now go back to that first verse. Let me give it that tremble. The high keepers of the house. That what he said? And you going to help me this morning. I'm out there.
In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble.
These are the keepers of this old house. This is soulless house then. They're talking about my leg. They're going to start trembling. You know, the older you get, the more your legs tremble. Because they're getting weak. Man, now I guarantee my grandson is 10 years old, and he was about to drive me crazy, running around, jumping and hopping. I couldn't jump and hop and run like that no more. I'm 63. Amen. Now, some of y'all trembling already. Read on.
And the strong man shall bow themselves, and the grinders
cease. Young man get old, and he's strong when he's young, and then when he start getting old, he start more bowed over. You know, when you came out of your mother's womb, you were in a fetal position, right? It's going back to the same position it came into. From young to old. Read.
And the grinders cease because they are few.
Now, do this. Oh, yep. You're getting old, teeth worn out. That's them grinders. the grinders are few. I was preaching one time in this chapter, and I said, how them grinders are. I'm going to get to that point here in a minute. But them grinders, how many of y'all teeth, y'all got all your teeth in your head? Raise your hand. one of them kids, you still got all your? But they be filling them cavities. You know, right? That's why you go. You go get them grinders checked out. I'm going tomorrow. Get them few I got left checked out. Make sure I ain't got a hole in them. Trying to hold on to every grinder I got. Y'all follow what I'm saying, don't you? Listen, the grinders are wearing down. All your teeth wearing out. Your soul is getting ready to go back to where it came from. Listen to what the book say.
And those that look out of the windows be darker.
Yeah, that's them eyes. They're getting worse. Read.
And the doors shall be shut in the streets.
Now, the door. You know where the grinders are, right? Now, when all the grinders were out, the mouth go like that. Somebody let me see. Take your dentures. I'm just going to show them. Well, I did that in Mississippi. Showing up that woman said, I said, oh, no, I'm just kidding. She spit them things out like they just no, wasn't no big deal to her. So, you know how they pop them out. Somebody show me. Popped out the pop. A dentures ain't nothing but made up grinders. Read on. Let's see what else will happen.
When the sound of the grinders is low.
Yeah, that's it.
And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird.
Yeah, you know.
And all the daughters of
you know, music. I remember when I was growing up, and you be in there, so mom and them coming in, get up. They already, you can smell coffee cooking and eggs and bacon and everything in there, you know. And they come in there, get up and do something right here. Like, everybody got to get up early. Why everybody got to get up early? Kids want to sleep in. Y'all ain't all right. You know, they used to say, how many of y'all got, old folks get up early? They want everybody else to get up early. Yeah, that's because they're getting old. Mm-hmm. Listen to the book. Come on.
Shall be brought low.
Uh-huh, real.
Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high and fears.
Hold on, don't do that. Now, see, I used to get on the house. I would climb up in trees, Quincy, back in Hillpill. And man, we climb up in trees and jump out of that tree. Climb up on our mama's house and jump off of it, 10, 20 feet. Just jump. You think I'm going to get up on the house now and jump? Oh, no. Man, when you get ready to go up there, try to clean the gutters, and you put the ladder up, you put it, amen, hold that ladder. you take one step and look back down, man. Somebody hold it. You're afraid of heights. That's right. When you get old, how many of y'all still jumping? That means your soul is headed back because you're getting old. Listen to the Bible. I'm trying to get to verse 7. Keep on.
And fear shall be in the way.
Fear shall be in the way.
And almond tree.
That's why when y'all, when you see somebody old driving, the reason they don't drive fast is because they're afraid. And you come up here, you a young buck, driving by behind somebody driving so slow. Y'all know, ain't how many y'all are, and you just fussing at that old, man, you need to get, well, bump, bump, bump. Now, these days, but don't bump, bump too much. Folks pull a gun out and kill you. I don't, back then, it used to be you could bump, bump and get away with it. Today, you might bump, bump and get shot. Yeah, right? It's road rage out there. Everybody got a gun. Seems like they don't fight no more. But anyway, the old folk, they up on the wheel like that. Yeah. They're afraid to live. And they're going to drive real slow because they're afraid. They have fears they didn't have before. That's why you don't drive. I mean, when I was young, we had a man, you get in that car, and you, and it seemed like we just want to do donuts. I'm driving the car and everything. Man, I don't act like that. No, I don't get in there and act up no vehicle. That's in your Bible. Y'all know that's in your Bible? Give me another one. Give me another one.
And the almond tree shall flourish.
Almond tree.
And the grasshopper.
Now, Al, I used to beat him in golf really good. And when I first met him about 15 years ago, all this was black. I didn't whoop it white. That's that almond tree. See, well, here's the, I mean, now something, here's the thing about the almond tree. Now, some of y'all have faked it out. I already know. But here's the thing. They got that stuff. That's what they could call that. Which one? How you know, bro? Tell my Jeff and me. A Grecian formula. You got some? And you know the thing about, I like to say this to the sisters. This make this a little humorous, because I've been talking about y'all going to hell in a few minutes. Now here's the thing. Sisters, I know y'all want your hair to stay black. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't y'all know we know? We know your hair ain't that black. You ain't putting nothing on. You ain't pulling the wool over our eyes, you know? And then they got them good-looking wigs. Now, man, you look just like it's brand. I mean, it look like it rolled out your head. Matter of fact, they tried to tell me that at the barber shop, Brother Brooks, we can put you some waves up there, and we can put that thing. And they showed me a picture. I said, boy, if I walk in high life like that. That dude, so he had, this is true. He said, I can have that ball fade. I ain't gonna mess with you, bro. Because me and you got the same problem. We ball headed. He said, Miss Brooks, I can do, I can give you a ball fade with smooth waves at the top. Boy, I thought about that for a second. Shoot, that might look pretty good. Except the people gonna know it ain't real. Ain't no way, Brother Brooks. Last week we bald head walk in, this week we'll be head full of wavy hair. Well, that's the same thing. Right, and right, if y'all gonna do that coloring, make sure you get around the edge, because we can see all that. Now y'all like that, don't you? Now watch what the Bible says.
And the grasshopper shall be a burden.
Yeah, the grasshopper. Do you understand why people like their grandkids to come home and go home, come visit and go home? You know, man, Brother Stroud probably don't know nothing about this, Brother Stroud, them grasshoppers. That's them little kids. You know, when you can't take it much no more. You know, you got now young parents, they can handle it. Old people can't handle kids jumping around, running around like grasshoppers in the house. You get your over there and, boy, them little grasshoppers jumping everywhere, whoop, 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 whoop. My father had a 10-year-old grasshopper with me last week. He about drove me crazy. Want to go fishing. Want to do this. Want to do that. I'm saying, boy, I'm too old for all this moving around. Grasshoppers, kids. It's anything to get on your bird. When you get old, you don't want a bunch of kids jumping around on your couch and jump up and down and turn the lights on and off and off. Man, boy. Grasshoppers. Now, let me get to the good part. Keep going.
Because man goeth to his long
there,
home.
Now, that's where we want to be right there. Where are we going?
To his long home.
So when your hair start graying and your eyes can't see and your teeth wear out and your hearing go down and kids start getting on your nerve and you're going to your long home.
And the mourners. Go about the streets.
And the mourners go about the streets. I mean, everybody know this. The older we get, the closer we are to them mourning. You know, just look at your family portrait. The older we get, church, the more our family know it's closer to the time they're going to have to mourn. They're already in the street.
That's what the Bible's teaching us here. He says then, or the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the cistern, the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the ground as was, earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This is what I want right here. I'm trying to get us to see that all of us are aging. This is a SOS situation, you all. We have to save our soul, but only God can save our soul. Amen. That's the message this morning, is that you got to understand you got a soul, and I want you to know this, that the soul will live on. And Luke 16 won't go there. The rich man, he had a soul. Lazarus had a soul, but both of them died. In Luke chapter 16, it's called the rich man and Lazarus, and both of them died. The rich man went to a place called Tartarus, a place of where he was already suffering after he died. What was suffering? Was it his body? No. Was it his spirit? No. What was suffering? His soul. What I'm saying to all of us, and we put a little humor in it, but the seriousness of this is that we have a soul, and this soul need to be saved, and God has done his part to save our soul. Why? Because souls belong to him. Listen to, go back to Ezekiel as I close in verse number 26. And listen to this. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 26, he said, when a righteous man turned away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and died in them for his righteousness, for his iniquity he had done, shall he die. This is proof to me that there's no such thing as once you're saved, you're always saved. There is no such thing as that. We must live right in order to be saved. Yes, the Church of Christ is right. Yes, we must be baptized. But yes, we must live right in order to save our soul. Because all souls belong to God. Your soul is not saved if you have left the church of Christ. Your soul is in danger if you're not taking communion every Sunday. Your soul, I'm talking to members of the Church of Christ right now, is in danger if you're not living a righteous life. Amen, somebody. If you're not attending services, if you're forsaking the assembly, if you're not giving right, if you're not treating people right, if you're not loving right, amen, you must live right in order to save your soul. Question is there a SOS on your beacon, on your soul as I speak? I'm talking to members of the church. Because if there's an SOS, remember, your soul belongs to God. Now we can't laugh no more, can we? Because we have to look in the mirror. And guess what I see in the mirror? I can't see your soul and you can't see mine. When we look in the mirror, you look at the condition of your soul, which belongs to God. The mirror I'm talking about is the Word of God. This is the mirror to identify the condition of your soul. Now, don't be foolish when it comes to your soul. The Bible is clear on this. Verse number 27. And when the wicked man turned away from his wickedness, he that had committed that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. So there is death to the soul. What do you mean, death to the soul? It's called in Revelation chapter 20 and the verses number 12. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. The books that he was talking about are the 66 books of the Bible. This book, in John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my word had one that judging him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. These 66 books tell you what you must do. This is the SOS. This is a save your soul information. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. And it was the book of life. And the dead were judged. That old thing was written in the book. Your name must be in the Lamb's book of life. The only way it can be the book of life is the name that must be in the book of life is the name of your soul. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. The first death is physical death of the body.
The second death is eternal separation from God. Death means separation. When the body is in the coffin, the spirit is separated and the soul has separated. That's why we call him a dead man. When you're separated from God by sins in your life, you are a dead man walking. But if you die, the physical, and you have not took on the SOS, you more worried about everything other than your soul. You forgot your soul belongs to God. The soul you will answer for. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says there was a man, I'm closing now, there was a man, Luke 12, 16, the man, he thought he had together, he was looking at the Bible, say, he said, it was a parable, Jesus said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, watch what he says.
Saying,
what shall I do?
What shall I do? Because I have no room
to bestow my fruits. And he said this.
I will do. I will pull down my bones.
Build greater.
And there will I bestow all my fruits.
No, he's talking about all his eye information. It's like all about him. He forgot. What he forgot is what many people are forgetting today, that the soul belongs to God. He thinks he's in control. But so do people today. People live like this. He said, I will say to my soul. Y'all see that? I will say to my soul. Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine, eat, drink, and be merry. What? Now here's the verse I want. But God said to him,
thy fool.
Now he called him a fool. God called him a fool. He said, thou fool.
This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Your soul shall be required.
Y'all got the message, don't? God said, fool, you think your soul belonged to you? Fool? That boy don't mean nothing. What you got in this life don't mean nothing. What means something, son, fool, is that you got the answer to me now. And I'm going to call your soul tonight. Because your soul belongs to me. Y'all got it? Now, the question becomes, am I wise or a fool? You said, Brother Brooks, I don't like being called a fool either. And I'm not calling you a fool, but you can call yourself one and feel good about it. Because any of us that are not concerned about our soul, in God's eyes, is a
fool.
Say it.
Fool.
And that could be me. But hear what Brother Brooks did for my soul. Amen. I heard an old story about 36 years ago. Our Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard that story. And the story was that God so loved the world, the International Morse Code, SOS. It's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved, what might be saved? The soul. Whose soul? God's soul. Who it belongs to? God. Whose your soul belongs to? God. What's the SOS signal from God? Save our soul. He said, I'll do it. And God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ came. Christ came down to the world and he walked among men in the last 24 hours of his life. He was a criminal. He was treated as a criminal. He was treated as if he'd done something. And he said, my soul is troubled. Even Jesus, when he was walking among us, had a soul. Y'all remember after he died, he stood and he came back and they went up to touch me. He said, don't touch me. I have not
ascended.
Been to my father yet. Where did he go? He went to the place where souls go after they die. I want y'all to hear me carefully. Now, I don't have the time to give it all to you. But once you die, you know immediately if you're lost or saved. Do you understand those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb? We don't go to judgment for him to tell us we've done wrong. He said, your sins I remember no more. We go to judgment, those who've been washed in the blood of the Son, we go to judgment to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of life. But the soul who stands before God, who have not been baptized, did not believe he sent his Son, did not repent of their sins, did not confess before men their belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, were not baptized as commanded by our Lord. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said, go into all the world, S-O-S, go into the world, all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What's going to be saved? The soul. What must the soul do? Be baptized. Why? Jesus commanded. What did Jesus came come to do? Save soul. Who the soul belongs to? God. Who gave his Son? God. Who died on the cross? Jesus the Christ. What did he shed? Blood. What was the blood for? To save our
soul.
I think y'all got the message, don't you? So here's where you are. I said, Brother Brooks, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my soul. Well, you should be, because you're wise. People who are not concerned about their soul are foolish. But if you're wise, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You're simple. Did you hear the gospel story I just preached? How Jesus hung, bled, and died, and suffered on the cross for you. He did all of that. That was God's SOS. Number two, you got to believe that he did that. Not without seeing it, but we're seeing it, but this. Three, you got to repent of your sins. You got to say, I can't leave like I came. I cannot leave like this. I got to get my soul in order with God. Because God could say, soul, tonight. And if God call your soul tonight, are you ready? You say, well, Brother, what do I do? You have to be willing to confess your belief in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then we will baptize you. Why? That's when you're cleansed. That's when it happens. You wash your sins away. Acts 22, 16. Revelation 1, 5. The blood of Jesus washed your sins away in that water. Y'all believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
Then you believe it in the water? You believe it that his blood was shed? Yeah. That same book tells us that blood washed your sins away in baptism. And then the Lord adds you to the church. He purchased with the blood, which is the church of Christ. Acts 20, 28. That's right. That's right. And that's what you need to do. Why? Because your soul belongs to God. If you're here today and you're a member of the Lord's church and you need to get your life right, remember, tonight could be it. Don't leave without saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I repent of my sin. That's called confession. That's after you've been baptized. That's what you do. Confess your fault one to another, and we'll pray for you. And then the other person, the visitor, one who's not a member of the church of Christ, you say, well, I grew up in the Baptist church. I did too. I grew up in the Baptist church. I didn't grow up in the Baptist church. Catholic church. They're not in here. You say, well, I didn't know. You know now. You know now. You can't say you didn't know, soul. When you stand before God, soul, it's going to be on your record. Brooks told you. Yeah, you listening out there in internet land. I told you. Brother Brooks told you. You can't say you didn't know, soul. Your soul belonged to God, soul. Did you hear, soul? Will you believe, soul? Will you repent, soul? Will you confess, soul? Will you be baptized, soul? Say, well, what do? We sing the song. Is what happens. If you're here today and you want your soul saved,
amen.
You walk down here and stand with Brother Brooks. And I'm going to take your confession this morning. I'm going to say, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You say, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. What you're doing, God has answered the stress scissor SOS. He's willing to save your soul. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you. You deny me, I'm going to deny you. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. That's a good distress call, isn't it? You ought to answer the SOS this morning. God is calling. It is a fountain, it is free. The blood is flowing from the fountain of Calvary. And it's for you and it's for me.
Amen.
Who would come? I hope somebody at the back will come and be baptized this morning. If you need to be saved, you can come. You need prayer, you can come. If you need to make confession, you can come. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Come to the Lord. Let him in your life.
There's a fountain free. It is for you. And me.
Won't you come to the
Let
Lord this morning?
Us haste,
soul,
oh, haste
wouldn't you come this morning,
to
soul?
Its spring.
Come on, be washed in the blood. Come to the Lord.
Fountain of love. from the source.
Come to the Lord this morning. Let him in your life. Let him in your life.
And he bids us all freely drink.
Some have come. When you have somebody else need to come to the Lord. Come on,
will you come?
Wouldn't you come? It's okay to come to God.
To the fountain.
Let him in your life this morning. Let him in your life.
Will you come?
Jesus is calling. Come. S.O.S.
Tis for you.
Save our soul.
And me, thirsty soul.
Thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call.
Hear the welcome call.
Tis
a fountain.
Is there a precious soul over here that needs to come to the Lord? When you come this morning, how about right here in this audience?
There's a living stream.
What precious soul?
With a crystal gleam. From the throne of life.
When you come this morning,
when you come, will you come
to the fountain?
To the fountain,
be wise this morning.
Will you come?
It's for you.
It's for you and me, thirsty soul.
Hear
the welcome call. Tis a fountain.